You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey continue with Family Life Cycle.
Just give some scriptures with. Scriptures talk about coupling, okay? Matthew 19 and 5. It said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And when it's taught, you know, I know it says the man leaving and cleaving, but what it's really saying is saying that now once you get married, this becomes your primary relationship. That relationship and this relationship becomes our primary relationship. You know, me and my son, we are pretty close. We talk all the time, but this can't be his primary relationship. She has to be his primary relationship. Okay. We know people who, their sister is their best friend, and now they get married. And I remember a gentleman coming and saying to us, he said, "Pastor, when I come home, I want to chill, but she loves her sister. Every time I come home, my sister-in-law up in my house." Okay. And it started causing stress in the marriage, because this coupling stage is time for y'all to be together. Okay. And, you know, my daughter-in-law said, she said, I guess when we get married, we ain't going to see y'all. Y'all ain't going to never come over the house. No, we ain't going to barge in. This is coupling time. This is coupling time. We got home yesterday, Monday, from Chandler Whip went with me, North Carolina. And so we got home maybe around 3-4 o'clock after we drove back. And so I said, "Go on in the house." He said, I can't just walk in the house. I said, "Walk in the house." He said, I don't know what how mom be dressed. What y'all be doing three? I said, "Boy, go on in the house. Those days, we ain't coupling like that no more."
Coupling by myself.
I said, "Go on in the house. Your mom dressed." So we walked in. I said, Chandler, he was concerned you wasn't dressed. She said, "In the middle of the day? But when you're coupling, newlyweds, it could be any time of day." Okay? So things change in different seasons. So during this time, you're getting to know each other, you're cleaving to each other, you're working on becoming one flesh. Genesis 24 and 67, it says, "When Isaac brought home his wife Rebekah, his mother had died, Sarah died. He said that he loved her," Genesis 24 and 67, "and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." So his wife comforted him. Y'all are learning to comfort each other, to be there for each other. All this is part of this initial stage when you first get married of coupling. Proverbs 5:18-19 is talking about when you first get married, about really developing the sexual intimacy that you should have. It said, "Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant robe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her love." I was watching the doctors the other day, and they were talking about people being upset by breastfeeding. And one of the female doctors on the doctor said, he said, "Breasts are made for nursing." The Bible says they're not just for nursing. Solomon tell his son, "Let her breast satisfy thee," not just the baby, "satisfy thee at all times." Come on, I'm in the word. This is, okay. "And be thou ravished always with her love." It says, it's talking about during that time that of developing the sexual intimacy that you should have. And then Deuteronomy 24 and 5 in the Old Testament, when people got married, okay, when it says, Deuteronomy 24 and 5, "When a man takes a wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home for 1 year and cheer up his wife, which he hath taken." Now, y'all know they had to have the money to do that. Different society for 1 year. And it says basically, and how we walk that out now is that when you get married, sometimes all the things you were doing as a single person, you may have to back up from it. Okay, that's why you know people complain sometimes about these single people doing too much in the church. I said milk them dry, just let them do everything they need to do. Because when you get married, I'm not going to be able to get as much out of them. Because you do need to curtail things. You need to focus more on each other once you get married than you did as a single person. So in the Bible, you know, they were given off from being in the army or war for a year. It says so he can cheer up his wife. New Living Translation says a newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any official responsibilities. He must be free to spend 1 year at home bringing happiness to his wife that he has married. So, Tyler and Elise, are y'all coupling? How's the coupling going?
Going well. It's going well. Coupling has been great
so far. Coupling has been great so far. Been awesome. We were talking about potentially next year instead of a men's conference doing a men's retreat. And so Tyler heard that. He said, men's retreat? I said, yeah. He said, I ain't so sure I want to go leave my home and go to be with some men for the weekend. That's because he's coupling. Now, when you're in probably later on, when you're in the later years, you know, the wife be telling the husband, don't you have someplace to go? Aren't the men on a retreat this weekend? You know, the man trying to watch the game at home said, don't you want to spend some time with your sister? When the last time went to see your mother? You're in a different season at that time. But during this time, you're coupling. You're getting to know each other. What adjustments have y'all seen that you need to make, that you've had to make?
I guess for me, I'm very much of a neat freak. I'm almost OCD. I like things being in their place. I'm very punctual. I like to be early, not on time. So if I ever walk in here late, it wasn't my fault. It was his. And so an adjustment that I've had to make is just not being so concerned with everything being in their place. If I don't load the dishwasher tonight, the world's not going to end.
Come on now.
Go in my apartment right now. There's dishes in the sink right now.
We just got married not too long ago, and we both are embarking in our careers. One thing that's a principle in our marriage is reinforcing time with each other and not being so worried about everything else going on. The world's going to keep spinning, but I think this is an important time for us. So that's the adjustment we've made so far in our early coupling.
And I like what Elise said about realizing, you know, one of the things that you're doing this time, you're getting to know each other's habits, attitudes, and I don't care how much you thought you knew each other before. Once you get married and live together, it ain't like before. Okay? You know, so John Hagee said one time, he said when you're really dating somebody and going with somebody, you're dating their representative. He said once you get married, he said the real beast is still kept in the cage. He said once you get married, the beast comes out. Now you really see who you got in every area. You know, and I don't think that's such a conscious thing, but I think it's kind of the security of knowing we're married now, knowing we're not going anywhere, and you can kind of get lax, and you can kind of, you know, the things that you did to maybe early on impress each other or to be more conscious of. If you're not conscious, you can let those things slip. And what you don't want to do is start neglecting the things that bind you together and keep you together. Okay. So you want to get to know your spouse. You want to enjoy your time together. 1 Peter 3:7, it says about husbands dwelling with your wives according to knowledge. And I don't think this is just knowledge of how to be a husband or just general knowledge of the word. I think it's a very specific knowledge. Dwell with them according to knowledge of them. A lot of times we say things like, you know, I know women, I know men. No, you got to get to know your man and your woman, your husband, your wife. And you can't be comparing them to someone else, prior relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. I heard somebody teach on this one time. It says there's an inheritance check that God wants to give you, and it requires two signatures. You got to get it together. Your heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So the Bible is saying, it puts responsibility on husbands here, that we need to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Otherwise, so our prayers won't be hindered. So during the marriage coupling stage, you're getting to learn to adapt to each other. What are some things that y'all have had to learn to adapt to?
Everything. No, that's right.
Specific example of learning to adapt.
Like she said, she's very neat, and I consider myself a fairly neat person, but I'm not neat on her level. So I think she's had to do a lot of adapting, and that's really something that gets on her nerves. But she has been very good at adapting and not just pulling her hair out, let me have it, if I leave a dish on the table before I leave to go to work in the morning, stuff like that.
Okay.
I mean, that has been the major adjustment.
Major stuff here, huh?
It's really a big deal for me. You can ask the parents. This is a very big deal for me. But yeah, I've really just tried to not sweat the small stuff, I guess. It's almost like the Brady Bunch in our bedroom, like that you have your side, this is my side. I don't care what happens over there. It can look like a tornado on that side. I don't care. But this
another thing I would say is, you know, I don't know if all ladies are like that, but women like to talk a lot. And, you know, I have learned to become a better listener ever since while we were dating, especially when we're married now, because, I mean, anything happens during the day, you know, she's calling, she's talking to me about it. I hear when I get home, and I've just been a great listening ear, and I've been able to be her Dr. Phil at all times.
Thank you.
Is he doing that well?
He's doing that very well.
It's a full-time job. I should get paid extra for it.
You get paid extra.
And I always say if I could bill her for her amount of time she talks to me, I'll be rich man.
Spoken like a true attorney. Talking about billing you for talking. Spoken like a true attorney. Okay. You know, during this time it's really important, and as a young married couple, that you make a commitment to meet each other's needs.
About commitment to meeting each other's needs?
Yeah.
Because example I always use is if I need something else, I want something, I say, how would you feel if all those times you wanted to talk to me about things, I just didn't listen? So I know that's a big deal for her, even though I might, something as far as something little going on work might not be a big deal to me, but if it's major to her, I make sure I listen, because that's a big need for us. Okay. And I expect her to meet my needs just like I meet her needs. So,
okay.
Give, take.
So, Tyler, I mean, so at least what he's talking about that particular need to talk that he helps meet. What adaptation have you had to make to meet specific needs that he has?
We can't discuss everything up on this pool. But the things we can discuss.
Discuss what you can discuss in this PG environment.
Tyler likes to eat. And I like to eat too, but I don't really like to cook. And his mom has spoiled them. And so I'm adapting.
And you're doing an excellent job.
She's doing a great job, too.
You're doing an excellent job.
All right. 1 Corinthians 7, 33 through 35. This is the New Living Translation. Specifically talking about meeting each other's needs during that stage of coupling, married. It says, but a married man, this New Living Translation, but a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. Okay? His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married, has never been married, can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best and as few distractions as possible. A lot of people don't really, you know, there's been a whole lot of sometimes debate or discussion about people, about how to balance, you know, being in ministry, serving in ministry, and being a husband or being a wife. Paul says, if you just a super spiritually driven person and you just want to please the Lord all the time, 24/7, Paul said, don't get married. He said, because when you get married, you can't just please the Lord. He said, you need to be concerned about pleasing your wife. You can't just meet the needs of the Lord and of the church. He says, you also have to meet the needs, to meet the needs of your wife. And verse 34 in New Living says, his interests are divided. So that means that, you know, if you like praying all night long, three nights a week, you probably don't need to get married. Okay? Because brothers want a couple. Okay? And it's hard to be coupling while you're praying. Okay? Or at least you would think so. The wife would think so. The brother probably could work it out. Anyway, so you got to balance natural needs and the spiritual needs. Balance the natural and the spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not talking about, you know, doing things that would be sinful before God. But it's saying, we have people, I have people on my staff. You know, I knew once they got married, things was going to adjust. Okay. They had to, when they got, you know, I had certain staff members, they would, you know, if I was in the office and needed them, they were going to be at the office. Once they got married, I can set my watch by when they're leaving because they have other responsibilities. And then when you get children, it's the same thing happens. So with each of these levels, you've really got to know how to go in and out and how to balance them. So, you know, during this time, you got to make it justice for each other, got to get to know each other. And most of all, you got to enjoy your time together. You're working out the living habits. You're getting to know your likes and dislikes. And you're also getting to know each other's idiosyncrasies. Have there been any discoveries since you got married? I mean, y'all dated for how long? 3 years? Huh?
3 years.
3 years.
3 years. Yeah.
What?
But have we discovered some things?
What have you discovered about my son, Elise?
He's got a lot of your character traits that I was kind of crossing my fingers that I'm
My character? Did you say my character? Did you say my character?
This has not been played for in-law jokes.
Okay. Then he should be a perfect husband.
Oh, idiosyncrasies. Yeah, I mean, we dated for a good while. There are definitely odd things about him, but they weren't really odd things I didn't know.
You said there weren't any odd things. So you haven't had any...
I mean, I knew that he was going to leave the milk on the table all day before I married him. Like, I knew that already.
But also when we were dating, though, one thing we both did, though, when stuff came up that we didn't like, we made a rule that we tell each other about stuff we don't like.
Yeah.
And so when she acted a certain type of way or when I act a certain type of way, we say, hey, you know, I love you. I believe you're the one God told me to marry, but this can't come in our marriage. So the stuff that she discovered, that stuff God brought out while we're dating then, and vice versa.
Okay. So let's back up a little bit just as I end this. So what would you tell in preparation for marriage? What would you tell the the independent adults, things that they need to either do, be conscious of, be aware of, or plan for, not plan for, be doing in that stage in preparation of marriage?
I guess the most important thing for me was to really get myself together. I knew what my ideal husband would have been and what I was praying for, but then I had to think about, like, if that guy showed up today, would he even want who I am right now? Like, am I who that guy that I'm praying for would want today? So I really had to just distance myself from just frivolously dating, and really just focusing my energy on making myself attractive, I guess, if that makes sense. I don't mean on the outside, but on the inside. I know that sounds really corny, but yeah.
No, I definitely understand that. Because I think a lot of, and you, it's usually, well, maybe it's not, but usually women, but maybe men too. You know, we're so focused on what we want and who we want and this ideal person, whatever those great qualities may be. And I think that that's really a good point. Are you ready for that person? And will that person that you're saying you want you? That is so important. That's really,
that'll
preach. Shake that bush. Okay. Tyler, want to add anything to that?
About what she just said, or
about what you would counsel or advice to the young independent adult in preparation of marriage? What they should be doing now in that stage in preparation?
I would just piggyback up for what she said. The same thing. Make sure you're getting yourself together. That's one thing I think I did, and I wasn't really. I asked God for the woman that I end up marrying. Not exactly her by name, but the characteristics and how she is. But I still focused on what I need to be doing with myself, because God hears your prayers and he knows what you want. So just as long as you're getting yourself together and being prepared for that person to come into your life, I think you'll be fine.
All right. Pastor Marcia, let's close us out here with some remarks from you.
One of the things I would like to say is what I noticed in observation. And even as they left the independent stage to the coupling stage, I'm an observer. I watch. I'm a studier of people. And I saw them both in the independent stage as they were approaching that marriage date, working really, really hard and becoming really focused and doing everything they needed to do to be what God desired them to be as a wife and as a husband. And I saw them also practice some of the things that they're saying. I watched them practice communication. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was really good how well they listened and how well they, communicate their needs and their preferences. And they sat and listened. Even though some stuff might have been uncomfortable, they practiced. And so one of the things that you learn as in that independent stage, you learn skills. And one of the things I discovered, that independent stage is one of the most important cycle of your life, is that if you miss certain skills in that stage, you will have some challenges, but you can learn them and you can pick them up. So you learn how to communicate. Even you learn intimacy, because you're learning how to develop relationship. You're learning how to tune into another person. You're learning how to say what you really, really mean, all those things. So I saw them working those skills. I was like, wow, that's excellent to see that. And then one of the most, I thought, interesting things for me, and also seeing that the adjustment was being made, and that became the primary relationship, you know, because that's my son. That's my boy. That's my baby boy. I never forget this. I called over there one Friday. And I was like, hey, how y'all doing? I was talking. I was so excited. I think y'all just, it's recently. I said, what you doing? Then I'm talking. He's like, you have me on speakerphone. You said, well, we actually sitting here. The TV's off. And you were telling me you lit candles. And that because your lives are really demanding and busy, that you were being deliberate in setting some time aside to have just conversation without any distractions. I was like, oh, really? And I'm talking. And the Tyler's like, okay, you know. I'm like, yeah, you know. I'm like, oh. I guess I'm the distraction now.
Every family will go through stages in life. You may be the single adult trying to find your way, or a young family raising small children. Maybe you've already lost your kids into adulthood, and now you're enjoying the retired years. You have to understand and know how to navigate whatever season you're in. Doctors Herbert and Marcia Bailey and their guests will help you to appreciate and manage each stage of your family's life. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Family Life Cycle. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.